You need to find a way to differentiate the product and offering and brand right from the start. You need to have clear signals everywhere in the funnel. I think also people didn't even think about wholesale and other channels at the time. That is, when things were so easy on Facebook, and I understand why people didn't want to deal with wholesale, because in a sense, like, wholesale is just, it's more challenging, right? You're dealing with buyers, you're dealing with other issues. The margin's not as good, but you got to deal with payment terms and people not paying and chasing down invoices. And why would you want to do that when you could just like turn up the knob on Facebook and double your spend tomorrow?
This is Nigel Thomas, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is the Ecom Alphas podcast. So I'm going to keep this intro quite short and sweet, because trust me, it's packed full of value. So David is actually the founder and the owner of Oliver's Apparel, who are a fashion brand coming from a family line of business. And we talked about the philosophy of really focusing, you know, over the last few years, since obviously the Facebook gold rush, and we go into that, it's become a lot harder. So really focusing on one product, conquering that space, and now with the mindset of, you know, the new way of doing things in this new world, especially with the recession looming, how to focus and how to make sure unit economics, you stay on point. And then goes off and talking about wholesale, all the rest of it. There'll be a second episode. But like I said, without further ado, let's get straight into this one. It's packed full of actionable tips. David's a fantastic guy, so down to work, and he really knows what he's talking about. And if you do enjoy the conversation, really appreciate leaving a review wherever you listen, Spotify or Apple, and sharing it with one friend. Let's do this thing.
I just wanted to say thank you, David, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and speak to me today. And for anyone who doesn't know about your brand, about your background, what should they know? You know, what should they know about your brand, what you've been doing in this space, and of course, what you're passionate about yourself, David?
Yeah, thanks, Nigel. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here and be speaking. So Oliver's, we're a premium activewear brand. High quality activewear staples really is what we've focused on. Launched originally with a pair of shorts, and I've kind of grown gradually since then, expanding into kind of a full line of, call it, activewear essentials. And yeah, we're very focused on making high quality products. And I myself am very interested on producing things of quality in whatever realm that may be. And yeah, I would say looking for meaning in kind of everything I'm engaged in, work or personal or otherwise. So very much a, call it, meaning seeking creature, so to speak.
Yeah. And one of our, I don't know if this is something that I read somewhere, one of our previous conversations, David, you said, get one thing right. Don't focus on a collection and focus on getting that one product right and then move on to a second. I think it's something that you guys have done extremely well. But where does that idea come from? Where does that philosophy, is that a learned philosophy or did you get that from someone else?
Yeah, well, I guess all ideas come from somewhere, not my own. I don't take credit for any ideas, so to speak. I think that any
very humble
quote unquote idea that's come from me has come from somewhere else. I don't know where that idea originates from, but it's certainly one that I think from lived experience I would advocate. And I think, you know, even more so in the apparel space. And for us starting out in an industry I hadn't been in before, it's really hard to make physical products. And then I think when you add on, we were very deliberate about making the business a product company, not a fashion company. So I think when you think about the fashion industry, like you're talking about a new collection each season, you're talking about just a lot of turnover in product and a lot of risk in terms of the inventory and just challenges in making all sorts of things, challenges in, yeah, delivering quality product if you're spreading yourself too thin. So for us, the idea of starting with a single product, we were fortunate that it worked. I recognize in some categories it might not work in apparel, but for us, we were fortunate that it worked. And I think, I don't know that we could have gotten off the ground without, if we were trying to do kind of a full collection out of the gate, I think it would have been, we would have kind of sunk ourselves initially. That's my intuition.
Yeah, it's interesting because we obviously, we're a paid marketing agency and we run ads on social media, predominantly Meta and TikTok. And at the start, some of the founders, you know, of course, they're really excited. They've got a lot of SKUs they want to push. They want to push them all at once. But actually, the best way to do it, to be strategic, because obviously you're going to need to do a lot of testing, yep. is to focus on the best sellers, ideally the ones that have the most margin. And that's where we always see the success. We actually recently just got a brand we're working with who've had some initial success, and the founders pushing like, oh, can we launch all of these SKUs? When it's like, no, because then the, you know, the account has kind of latched onto an avatar. We need to try and scale this as much as we can and really get that core focus. And then we can start adding in those other SKUs, and not just in ads, but in all other aspects of business. Like you said, I see this a lot, and it's a real big problem. Have you found that?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, and even today, we basically have two products that we push from a top of funnel perspective to bring in new customers. And one of them was the product we started with. So I think, yeah, I think there's a tendency for founders and owners and people in general to think that people are willing, because you know, like if you're fortunate enough to sell one thing to someone, that you could sell all sorts of things to them. And I think be lucky if you find one thing that people are willing to buy from you and find how to sell more of that before you move on to product number two. You know, I very much kind of subscribe to that idea. And yeah, and like I said, today, even, you know, even now that we have whatever 40 products we have, there are basically two that are used as a top of funnel kind of
interesting
new customer acquisition.
Why is it those two though? Is it the margins? Is it just the fact you've got the data behind that? What is the reason behind those two specifically?
It's because it's, well, the short is what we started with. And so we built up some momentum around that short. And the other product was one that really just the customer took to for whatever reason. It actually wasn't so much, it was maybe like our fourth or fifth product and the customer took to it. I think it happened to be a product that was people were receptive to at the time. But it was really not so much our pushing it as much as the customer taking to it. The first product was like we delivered, you said, this is a product we're going to launch with, and really built the business for the first 2 years around that single product. So, and then I think once we built the following around that, we got some press reviews, like we built a little momentum around it.
Sorry to interrupt you. How big did you build the business? If it's a revenue standpoint or whatever, just focusing on that one single product, just to give other founders an idea.
It was just around that. Yeah, just around that one product, we got it to a couple million bucks.
Fair enough.
And yeah, the one product in multiple colors. And so we didn't roll out a second product until we had done that. And yeah, but back to what I was saying, you know, I think the first product was very much our pushing. The second one was really like the customer taking to. That was not our deliberate, call it effort to, we were going to make this the key product because of margin or because of any other consideration. It was really the customer taking to it more than anything.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And hindsight's 2020, but when you look back, we spoke about this once previously about the fact that in 2016 or 2018, I can't remember, when did you guys launch again?
Let's call it 2014.
Okay, 2014. So yeah, that period from 2016 to maybe like 2019, the Facebook ads gold rush. And you were talking to me about, oh, you just put your head in your hands there. Mm. You were nitpicking about, you know, small little pieces of ROAS here and there. And now looking back is like, wow, you know, we should have spent like 10 times more back then. And I think the conversation is one I hear a lot with a lot of different brands. I've got a unique perspective on how it is nowadays, which I can get onto in a second. But I'm just curious to hear what you've learned from that whole experience.
Yeah, I think when things are good, like, you know what I mean? There's like the Warren Buffett quote, like when it's raining gold, reach for a bucket, not a thimble kind of thing. So like when things are going well, you need to be awake that things are going well and they're not always going to be going well necessarily. And like take advantage of when things are going well. And I think that's the lesson. You know, in hindsight, we, again, like we said, we were nitpicking around ROAS, but based on, it really wasn't so much based on what we could justify growing, and it was just like the ROAS that we were seeing. So that became our benchmark, was like what we were seeing. So we saw whatever it was, you know, I don't even remember what the numbers were, but whatever it was, and that became our new expectation. And then once we weren't hitting those numbers, we weren't happy. So we would cut back spend or tweak things. And really, in hindsight, those numbers were so, so healthy from a profitability perspective. Like we shouldn't have spent time, like you said, nitpicking around, you know, kind of around the margins, that things were so good at that time. We should have really been kind of, you know, pedal down, so to speak.
It's interesting because I talked to a guy, his name's Jeremy Horowitz. He's over at Gorgeous and really smart guy in the direct to consumer space. And he's always telling me about the fact that, and especially we see it with obviously all the Shopify layoffs, the baseline of where things were at were very abnormal. And this was just because it was a very new market. You know, the big players haven't come in, which they have now. Mm-hmm. And people got used, people built businesses, and I'm not, you know, saying you did, but also a lot of people built those businesses around the economics of how good those things were, without realizing really, you know, now looking back, that those weren't normal. And now we're kind of getting more back to baseline. And for me, what's interesting is Facebook ads are way harder than they were. And if we're just going to talk about that platform specifically, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. And again, I don't own an e-commerce brand, so who am I to say? So you might challenge me on this. But my opinion is that you need to now understand your entire customer journey. You need to make every single dollar count. You need to know your unit economics from the moment, the first 2.5 seconds you get that attention in the newsfeed, to all the way to one being a part of your community and being buying more and more products. You need to think everything through strategically. And if you do that, and I know it because of the brands we work with, you still can have a lot of success, and it's a very robust platform. But if you don't do that and you do it the old way, which in my opinion, it's kind of, I like to call it caffeine crash marketing, especially nowadays, then you're just not going to be able to have any sustainability. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know the space better than I do, but everything has gotten more difficult. So like you need to, everything needs to be better. And yeah, you need to differentiate the product. Like you need to find a way to differentiate the product and offering and brand right from the start. You need to have clear signals everywhere in the funnel, like you said, and things are more difficult. And I think guys now, you know, you need to be, I think also people in our space, call it like in the apparel space, didn't even think about wholesale and other channels at the time. That is, you know, when everyone got, things were so easy on Facebook, and I understand why people didn't want to deal with wholesale, because in a sense, like wholesale, it's just, it's more challenging, right? You're dealing with buyers, you're dealing with other issues. The margin's not as good. The buyers, you know, you got to deal with payment terms and people not paying and chasing down invoices. And why would you want to do that when you could just like turn up the knob on Facebook and double your spend tomorrow if things are going well? Like that's, no wonder people would rather do that. You know, business owners would rather do that. But yeah, everything's gotten harder. So like everyone's got to be a little scrappier and check under the rug for any missing nickels anywhere you can find them kind of thing. Like, you know, there's, things have gotten more challenging. And then, yeah. And I think making a better product now is more and more important as well. I think the idea of having a customer that will buy things from you more than once, given the cost of bringing in a new customer, is so much higher than it was. Like you need to really find a way to kind of extend the lifetime value of those customers.
I always say that if you can spend three times as much to acquire a customer, you're going to win. So strong economics is so important. But even better than that, if you can acquire a customer and then they recommend your product to three people because the product's so goddamn good, how are you going to compete with that?
Yes. Yeah, great.
And that's where it still does make sense. And before we get into the wholesale, because I know you guys have got a massive push there, and I think we could learn a lot from obviously your journey onto that side. And it's a huge opportunity, especially the way the market is. What else now, considering the market and the environment, the economy, are you doing specifically on direct to consumer side to still, you know, not only stay afloat, but continue to grow?
Yeah, so we're pushing into wholesale, like I said, like you mentioned, rather. We've taken a more, call it, sophisticated approach to email, building out flows and getting more, taking, call it, both the art and the science of that channel more seriously. SMS as well. We've pushed into Google in a way that we hadn't done before, really hadn't done much on Google aside from, call it, like brand protection stuff historically. And we've taken a more proactive role there. Affiliate is now a meaningful channel for us. So that's a channel that we really pushed into maybe starting about a year and a half ago.
Do you do on the affiliate side then?
Brand ambassadors. Yeah. So brand ambassadors and also just content publishers in general. So we're dealing with
interesting.
Both.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what? Blog articles and stuff.
Correct. Blog articles.
I'm really keen to hear about that process because that's quite unique. A lot of founders don't talk about that.
Yeah. So we've been doing that for about a year and a half. I mean, we found that even before being on affiliate, that we started to realize there was a bigger and bigger movement from these publishers to get onto the affiliate platforms. I think before, the thought was the affiliate channel was kind of like, it was kind of a dirty word, and they were trying to keep theirs, you know, keep their businesses clean and, you know, and call it like prestigious in a way. But ultimately,
the whole like click bank thing and everything.
Exactly. But ultimately, the majority of these guys have moved on to that. You know, it's an easier way for them to monetize things. It's a way for them to also see whose products are selling, and they're incentivized to push things that are selling. So basically all the, like, there's some still call it like more fashion type publishers that don't want to be in that world, but the vast majority of bloggers and publishers are now making money on affiliate, and that's a big part of their business. So we're
how'd you get in touch with them though?
So there's a number of affiliate networks. So we started on one network, kind of built things up there. We actually switched to a separate platform last year.
What, do you mind sharing the names of these networks?
No, yeah. We started on ShareASale and moved to Impact. Okay. Impact Radius, it just goes by Impact. So that's where we're on now. ShareASale is a good kind of intro platform, and Impact, I'd say, has a little higher level of customization, which worked once we got the program up and running a little bit. I can't speak to it in too much kind of technical detail because I'm not managing it on a day-to-day basis, but it's, that channel is now, you know, 15 to 20% of our revenue comes through affiliate.
Wow. That's amazing. So yeah. I really have seen the actual impact in terms of return on investment there.
For sure. I mean, that's our most profitable channel. You know,
really? Wow.
From an ROI perspective.
But what's the scalability?
Exactly. It's not as easy to scale. Like, I think it kind of has to scale with the rest of your business. You can't just turn it up infinitely like you could, you know, I'm just call it Facebook or Google. It's just not, or don't have the same level of scale. But it's a very, like I said, very healthy channel. And as much as we can do there, we're doing.
Okay. Well, no, that's really interesting.
So that's the end of part one. Like I said, full of actionable tips. We'll be releasing part two in the coming days, so watch out for that. Please subscribe, leave a review of the podcast if you are enjoying it, and share it with one friend. Apart from that, have a fantastic week. Stay true to yourself as always.